Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. First, I'd like to say it really is a joy and a privilege for me to be here with you. I've heard of Hoyleton as I have visited many congregations around here in my ministry with blind ministry, especially St. John New Minden, but several other churches in the area as well. It's a joy to be here with you, therefore, today. In order to share God's word, as well as to let your pastor go to the baptism of his God-son. What a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for him. Our text is the first reading from Acts, the story of Saul and his conversion. It says that Saul was breathing murderous threats. He was a Jew. He did not like Christians. It was an upstart sect that shouldn't be. And so he was bound and determined to crush it. He had letters, we would probably say today, subpoenas, in order to bring people back to Jerusalem to stand trial. It was while heading up on this trip to Damascus, a bright light shone. He was knocked to the ground. It was the voice, more than anything. "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" That impacted him. He did not see Jesus at that moment, really. He was blinded by the light. But the voice was clear, more than a human. When he got up, he was blind. His friends had to help him back into the city. He waited and prayed. Jesus sent another disciple to Paul to lay hands, to pray, to baptize, to bless him. We have seen and heard of many situations in our modern day. Sadly, I heard today on the news before coming here, there were 17 shootings in St. Louis. There's a lot of violence going on. Paul was part of that violence back then for the Jewish faith. But Jesus wanted him to build up the Christian faith, not tear it down. And so he came to him, and he even said that he would be his chosen vessel, his chosen instrument. Chosen. Special. People like to be chosen. They like to be special. Although so many times it doesn't work that way. I don't know about you, but even before I lost my sight, I stood and waited to be called to one of the baseball teams and was always near the end. I wasn't chosen. I was just one of the leftovers. And then when I lost my sight, I wasn't even one of the leftovers. I was just left. I think a lot of people today can kind of feel that way. Just left. Things happen in life that make it difficult, especially when we relate it to the world and our situation and sometimes even God, that when things happen, a loss of job, death of a loved one, an illness, a long illness, or a severe physical ailment or problem. Chosen? That's the last thing one thinks of. I know some who are blind who sneer and say, "If I'm chosen, God only chose me for poverty, hardship, and loneliness." That's the way it is so often in our world. Saul was chosen by God. Part of that choosing was his being made blind so that he might really, really see how blind he was spiritually. So that he then might understand that he was chosen and special. Now, some might think being chosen by God, maybe Saul, it's just a coincidence. Just happened. Coincidence, though? coincidence? Is it a coincidence that Jesus was born? Was it a coincidence that Jesus, though he was without sin, died on a cross? Was it a coincidence that he came that day to speak to Saul and call him? Jesus would have just come down and touched down on the road and spoken to just any old person who walked by? Is it coincidence that Jesus called you or me the waters of baptism? Again, he would have just splashed water and said his words of forgiveness, given his name to just any old adult or baby who walks by the baptismal font? No. There are things in life that are a coincidence, absolutely. But when it comes to God, there's no coincidence. And those things that seem to be coincidence aren't. Then we stop and look at our own lives, the difficulties and hardships, the circumstances we have, and we think, is this why God called me? No. No, it's really not our circumstances. It's not our beauty or fame or our fortune, our character, our strength, our wealth, or poverty. That's not why Jesus chose you and me. That's not at all why. It's because he loves you and me. It's on him, not us. Now, is that all with this reading? We could stop there. God's amazing love reached even to Saul, who was persecuting him, let alone us. But there is more. Oh, so much more in this reading. When Jesus came down, there was a bright light. Saul could then see nothing. It really was that voice, I think, that made him tremble and realize, this is God Almighty speaking to me now. Saul, when he got up, was blind. He was led by the hand by his friends into the city. Wow. The fearful, intimidating enemy of the faith now was harmless, helpless, a vanquished foe, probably feeling humiliated as he was led in the city by his friends. That's kind of the feeling sometimes we get too, isn't it? Feeling helpless, humiliated. We don't like that. Now, when Paul was faced with this physical ailment, he then began to see, really see. As the Holy Spirit worked in his heart, worked faith, he then could start to see that Jesus, the one he was persecuting, was God and his Savior. And at that point, that's when Paul saw spiritually. I lost my sight when I was 11 years old, a rare disease that made the vessels behind the retina leak fluid, detached them. Finally, I had no sight left. And at that time, I thought, because I was in church from infant, boy, Jesus healed people. He gave sight to people. Hey, he even gave sight back to Saul. So why don't you do it to me? So I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And I believed that it could happen. And if it were up to me, if it were up to my belief, it would have happened. But belief in belief is not enough. That's the first thing I learned when I was blind. Belief and belief is not enough. We need to believe in our God and what He is saying. I learned many other things then from my blindness. I learned that well, why does God let some things happen like that? Why does He let problems come? Whether it be blindness or deafness or polio or measles as that's going around. Why does God permit things to occur to His children? Well, you know, if nothing went wrong, everything went the way we expected, wanted, desired. We got the raise, we got the promotion, we got the lake house, we got the on and on you go. If everything went the way you wanted, would you think you have a need for God? No, we would need Him, but we wouldn't even think about Him because it was all going the way we wanted. God uses our circumstances. Those difficult times, even as it humbled Saul, to humble us, to see that we need God in our lives every single day. And even when we think we get it right, oh, we have more to learn. Second, I learned that when bad things do happen, it isn't necessarily punishment by God. We often think, God, what did I do that you sent me this? No. Sometimes things just are. And they aren't punishment. Oh, now if you go rob a bank and you're thrown in jail, yeah, that's punishment due. But so often, those things that seemingly are bad are just. Just our circumstances. God never promised that everything would be good. But what He did promise is that He would work good through and with our difficulties, our problems. Braille is a perfect example. In the Bible study, and I do have a few Braille notes here. I'm sure you can't see any of the dots. It just looks like a piece of paper back there to you all. And if you want to see some Braille later, by all means, I'll be happy to show it to you. We talked in Bible study about the Braille being produced just down the road at St. John. Bibles, Braille Bibles, they go all over the world. All over the world, there are still state schools for the blind that when children lose their sight, they're sent immediately to these schools to learn how to read Braille. And what do they learn from? The Bible that comes to them from Lutheran Braille workers. When they go home then on holidays, what do they take with them? A Braille Bible. And they go back to their villages, and people crowd around because now they are the most intelligent. They are the most knowledgeable. They know how to read. And so what do the kids read to the people in the village? The Bible. God's Word gets to places it never would get to otherwise because of Braille. And that includes communistic countries where it's against the law to send in Christian printed material. But when the guards at the border see this Braille, they don't know what it is, and so on it goes in. God's Word. God does work good from all sorts of things. Third, when difficulties happen, who better to speak to people who are struggling than people who are Christians that are struggling? I visited the Outreach Center for the Blind in Toledo a couple years ago. There are about 50 outreach centers still going from the past 20 years. And at the outreach centers, it's a meal once a month gathering blind people. Most of them don't go to church because they can't get there. I mean, after all, I even said this in Bible class, how many of you walked here to church? Oh, so you all drove? Do you want to see me out there driving on the roads? Probably not. Well, that's part of the problem of being blind. You can't drive. And so these meals, we'd have volunteers pick them up and have a meal on a Saturday, and then they'd speak about God's love, try to meet needs. I met Corey. Corey, he told me his story. I asked him about it. By the way, Corey came there because another blind person invited him to come. That's the idea. We know other people who hurt and struggle just like us, and so this friend who is blind brought Corey. I asked Corey, well, how did you go blind? He said, well, I was going to visit my ex-wife to talk about our child, and the new boyfriend met me on the street and shot me 5 times and wanted me dead. Somehow I survived, but I was blinded in this, and now I'm blind, and I wonder why. I stayed in contact with Corey. He hears the podcasts now. Since I moved away from the ministry of the Braille production, I now do podcasts. And the newsletter that you receive will tell more about that, as well as the outreach centers. The podcasts reach people through either computer or iPhones, which blind people can use because of the speech output that it has. They hear God's word. It comes right to them. A weekly devotional, a newsletter. I mean, a Bible study. Once a week. And so Corey is hearing God's word. Hearing God's word. Because a blind person invited him to a gathering. Each of you also are unique and gifted. And I know all of you think about the gifts and talents that you have. But sometimes those gifts and talents that God uses, we think are setbacks, deformities, handicaps, difficulties. Oh, but not God. Not God. He always takes that which is bad. I mean, think about it. A man dying on a cross who is innocent, that's injustice. But he made that into our good. For Jesus took our punishment. He forgives you and me, and now he uses us just as we are to share his message. Jesus appeared to the disciples. He appeared to Saul on the road. And now as we come here and hear God's word, as you read God's word, as you study it in the Bible, don't assume or suppose that these are the words of a dead man. That was Saul's blindness until Jesus met him. At times when you read and learn in school, you might think, well, I'm done now. I've learned it all. Well, when you think that, that's a self-centered person's blindness. God uses all that we have learned to bring back to mind to help us in each of our circumstances and situations, personally as well as to tell others. And sometimes even as Saul was told by Jesus that he is his chosen instrument and he will suffer some things, but he will do so for his name's sake, suffering may come to us because we believe, because we hold Jesus and his word. Don't turn back when that comes. That's just a fearful person's blindness. Follow him. Follow him as all the other disciples did, because they saw that there's more to life than what we have here, what we eat, what we drink, what we wear, where we live and work. Those are circumstances. Jesus lifts us above them, and he gives us the sure and certain hope of eternal life. My fellow Christians, open your eyes and see the risen Christ. Hear his words to you. You are his redeemed child. And yes, you are chosen. And you are special. Because he has said so. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.